You take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to look at Numbers 13. Numbers chapter 13, and I had something different that I was going to give this evening, but this afternoon the Lord changed my direction to look at Numbers 13. This is a familiar chapter, Numbers 13 and 14. They're familiar to us, and I want to challenge us tonight from the life of Caleb. And Numbers chapter 13, God's people are outside of the promised land, which is where God wanted them. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, and he told Moses, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan." Now we all know that they took one from each of the tribes, and they sent them in to spy out the promised land. And so they go in, they spy out the promised land, and the Bible says, verse 25, "They returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it." So God told him this was what the land was going to be like. God always has what's best for us in store. And it was a beautiful land. And they went and they saw the beauty of the land that God wanted them. They were going to go into the promised land here. But after they talk a little bit about the beauty, there's a problem. And we see this as the majority of the spies, 10 of them, are focused on the problem. They focused on the negative. And verse number 28, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." They said, yeah, the land was beautiful. The land flowed with milk and honey, but there were some problems there. And there was a pressure, if you would, for them. They focused on the fact that they were outnumbered. They focused on some of the negatives. Look at verse number. We'll just go ahead and just keep reading. Verse 29, "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And what do we find? We find the majority, verse 32, "They brought up an evil report of the land which had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." What do we see? We see, though there's some positives, we see an enormous focus on the negatives. As a matter of fact, the majority of them, 10 of them, focused on the negative. And they communicated the negative to the children of Israel, to God's people as a whole. And we find in verse 14, "All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." As they looked at the promised land, they focused on the fact that they were outnumbered. There was a pressure, if you would, to go back, to slack off. There was a pressure to listen to the negative voices. There was a pressure to see things only humanly, to see things from just a human perspective. There was a pressure for the congregation as a whole. There was a pressure there to go with the majority, to go with what everybody thought. Everybody thought, wow, this is an impossible situation. We think about the society we live in today. Is there not a pressure to listen to the negative voice? Is there not a very loud negative voice? And there's a pressure for all of God's people even to listen to a negative voice. There's a pressure for us in the society today, as you might listen to the news or interact with other people. There's a pressure for us to see things now humanly, just like there was in Numbers 13. There's a pressure to go with the majority. God's people even. As we look at God's people here in Numbers 14, God's people are in unbelief. They look and they see a situation that they think is hopeless. There's a pressure in our society today to listen to the majority, to go with the status quo. There's a pressure on churches to conform to the world. There's a pressure on Christians to be silent and not speak out for Jesus Christ. There's a pressure on Christians in the world in which we live in to slack off a little bit, to back up a little bit, to act a little bit more like the world, to talk a little bit more like the world, to dress a little bit more like the world. You see, the pressure is upon us. There's a pressure for us to give in to false teaching. There's a pressure, and we see it across the churches of our land, churches caving in to false teaching, embracing things as abortion and things as same-sex marriage and things as gender distinction issues, blurring the genders, this whole gender identity and men being women and women being men. And you know what? All of it flies in the face of the truth of the Word of God. It flies in the face of what God wants us to believe. It flies in the face of what the purpose of the church is. The purpose of the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. I heard recently of a situation in Canada where a 14-year-old girl wanted to give her testosterone injections. And the authorities told the parents that if they intervene, they'll charge them with family violence. In Europe, they're trying to do away with mother and father distinctions. And it'll eventually come here. And they're trying to do away with mother and father and have the children call them parent one and parent two. Flies against the face of the truth of the Word of God. God created male and female. And God is the giver of life. And yet, if we think about it, the worse the world goes, if we stand on the truth of the Word of God, the world is going to be further and further and further from the truth. And there's a pressure on the church at large to say, hey, as the world goes, so we need to go. But if I'm standing on the truth of the Word of God, I'm not going to budge. Because the Word of God is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the truth of the Word of God is always the truth, and that's where we need to stand. And here, God's people, in our text, God's people that had seen God work, the majority of God's people in this passage felt like they couldn't win. We think about this. The answer really is, it is with God's people. And yet in our society today, we can think that, boy, it's just so much pressure. Just so many people are going the wrong direction. So many churches often that stood for truth and had evangelism and an outreach program and took a stand for what's right and tried to present the right kind of music and the right kind of dress and the right kind of atmosphere. And churches are moving. Things are changing. And there's a pressure to conform. Either you will determine in your life to be a world changer, or you'll end up a world conformer. The church of God needs men like Caleb and Joshua. We're going to focus our attention tonight really on Caleb. The scripture tells us in Numbers 14 and verse, the next chapter over, and verse number 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Amidst all of the people that were looking at the circumstances, amidst all of God's people that saw giants, that saw challenges, that said, man, it's just too great. What God's asking us to do is too much. It's too great for us. Amidst all those people, we read of a man named Caleb, who determined, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. He wholly determined to follow God. And we'll see this in a few minutes. And God blessed him. I want to give you three very simple thoughts tonight. And then I want to show you a 5-minute video clip that is really convicting. And I trust that God will speak to our hearts tonight as we consider the challenges that we face in 2020. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll give you three thoughts from the life of Caleb. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I thank you for Caleb and Joshua that stood against the majority. They stood with you. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a deep resolve and a conviction in our heart to not be conformed to this world, but to stand with you, to stand with truth, and to recognize that you still are able to make a difference in 2020 in the United States of America. Lord, would you meet with us, I pray. Would you meet needs in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see, number one, Caleb knew that the land that they were outside of, the promised land, was God's will. Go to Numbers 13 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, It is God is the one that led them to rate where they were. Sending the spies into the land was in the will of the Lord." Caleb knew that they were where they were because of God. Caleb didn't look at his circumstances purely as a big, huge challenge that was impossible. He looked at it as a challenge that came in God's will. As a matter of fact, if you hold your place and you go back to Exodus chapter number 3, in Exodus chapter number 3, we see God communicating, and this was communicated all along. I know that that Caleb wasn't around probably here in Exodus chapter number 3. I guess I should have done my research to figure out how old he was, and I don't think he was around this year, but maybe he was. But in Exodus chapter number 3, we know that God communicated His will to His people. Exodus 3 in verse 17, they were in affliction. We'll see this in a minute. And He said, "I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Do you know what? God's will hadn't changed. God told His people as they were enslaved in Egypt that He was going to deliver them, that He was going to bring them from Egypt, that He was going to bring them to the promised land, this land that flowed with milk and honey. That was the plan of God, and it had not changed. And Joshua knew that where they were, about to go into the promised land, was God's will. It is what God promised. Do we know that the will of God for us has not changed? You see, oh, but man, there's some challenges. We got COVID, and we got masks, and we got hand sanitizer, and people are a little freaked out and all. But nowhere in the Word of God does it say this: "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel until COVID hits." We don't read that anywhere. Do you know it is still the will of God for Victory Baptist Church to do what? To reach people. To reach people with the gospel, to do what we can to communicate that Jesus saves. It is still the will of God for us to teach people, to disciple people, to counsel people, to help people, to point people to truth that will change them. And it is still the will of God for Victory Baptist Church to minister to people, to meet the needs of one another, to meet the needs of people in our community, to reach, to teach, and to minister. That is God's will for us. That is what God wants us to do as ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what challenge we face. Again, I made reference to Paul and Silas this morning, and I think even last week, they're in prison. And in prison for preaching the gospel, it didn't stop them from doing what God had called them to do. And it is important for us to remember that no matter what challenges we may face, no matter how big the giants are out there, no matter what comes our way, we need to recognize and focus on God's will. What does God want me to do in this situation? I have to hand it to you. When I look at some of these characters in the Word of God, I get convicted. I get convicted with Paul and Silas not complaining. I get convicted with Daniel and Joseph and some of these characters that had bad situation, and yet they use that bad situation as a forum. How often do we go to the doctors and we sit in the office and instead of focusing on, do I have this sickness or not, or what's going on, do we focus on, okay, here I am in this waiting room. Maybe that guy over there needs Jesus. You see, it's so easy for us to get removed from what we're supposed to be doing. Caleb knew that where they were was God's will. God had brought them there. I want you to see, secondly, as we look at this, by the way, it's still God's will for us to earnestly contend for the faith. It's still God's will for us as a church to be the pillar and ground of the truth. It's still God's will for us to read our Bible and to spend time in prayer. It's still God's will for us to come out from among them, no matter how much pressure we have to believe that certain things that are against the Bible are okay, no matter how much pressure we have, it is still God's will for us to come out from among them and be separate. It is still God's will for us to be holy. It is still God's will for us, no matter who says they're men or women or whatever, it is still God's will for us for men to look like men and act like men and dress like men, and women to do the same for them. Women to act like women and dress. It is still what God set up. But we see, man, there's so much pressure in our society. There was pressure for Joshua and Caleb, the majority. As a matter of fact, we'll see this somewhere. All my notes are going to run together eventually, but that's all right. The whole congregation was going the wrong direction. And here's two men saying, it's okay. We're going to do what God wants us to do. There's temptation to change. Nobody wants to be an island. By the way, don't let yourself convince you that you're the only one. Old Elijah thought, I'm the only one. And God said, no, I got a whole bunch of other people. There are people all across the country. I thank the Lord for the different opportunities that we have to travel. And we spent the week at the Bill Rice Ranch, and I was encouraged by pastors and men and women that believe the same way we do here at Victory Baptist Church. And that God wants us to stand for what's right in a world where there's so much pressure to cave in, to say, you know what, people, I've talked to some pastors, we don't have a soul winning program anymore. We don't have outreach anymore. It doesn't work. Huh? The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says we're supposed to go out and tell the world about Jesus. What do you mean it doesn't work? God's Word works. Truth works. Number two, not only did he knew the land was God's will, but secondly, he knew the answer was God's power. Look at chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. Now, we see in the beginning of this chapter, we see a huge influence. There's 10 against 2. And the whole congregation, verse 1 of 14, the whole congregation lifts up their voice and they cry and they wept that night. And they murmur against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt. And we'll look at that in just a minute. And I want you to slide down to verse number 8. Verse number 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, they rent their clothes. They're grieved. They're grieved with the response of the people of God to the giants in the land. By the way, I should add that into this sermon. I should make that a point right now. They rent their clothes. The aspect of being grieved. It ought to break our hearts when we see compromise. It ought to grieve us when we see the people of God in unbelief. But here's their response. They're grieved and they say to the children of Israel, if the Lord, verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into His land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. They give you a couple commands. They say, rebel not. They say, fear not. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't do that which is not God's will. They're afraid fear is a bad motivator. They're doing what they do out of fear. They're afraid because they're focusing on the wrong thing. What are they focusing on? We read it already in verse 32, the latter part, and 33. Hey, there's giants in the land. There's more of them than there are of us. They're more trained than we are. They're bigger than we are. Oh, this is an impossible situation. I'll tell you this, if you focus on the negative things in life, it's going to cause fear, and it's going to be that which causes you to say, hey, you know what? Maybe I should compromise a little bit. Nobody wants to be the only one. You think about the pressure we have in the society. You listen to enough news. You listen to enough news, and it's enough to put fear in anybody. You think, whoa, is this really the truth? Is this really what's happening? You know, the devil knows what he's doing. He's a deceiver. He's doing what he can to deceive people into thinking things that are so contrary to God. Now, people are deceived. They're of their father, the devil. And you look at it, there's an anti-God sentiment in our society that comes from the father, the devil. And what's interesting is God's people are deceived. God's people decide, they have a memory lapse. Look at verse 2 of Numbers 14. And the children of Israel, they murmur, and they say, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God we had died in this wilderness. Now God's going to give them their way. They're going to get to die in the wilderness, and we'll see that in just a minute. They said, verse number 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to go to Egypt? Let's get a captain and let's go back to Egypt. They had a memory issue. Where do we find them in Egypt? In Exodus 1, we find them not having a happy, jolly time. The Bible says in Exodus 1 and verse 12, but they were afflicted. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. They were grieved because of the children of Israel. They set them, verse 11, taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. Hey, Egypt wasn't a happy time. They were slaves in Egypt. You know, Egypt is a picture of the world. Egypt, their time in Egypt profited them nothing. And when we think about it, Egypt being a picture of the world, here they want to go back to Egypt, and in Egypt they were slaves. They didn't have any freedom. What was God trying to do? God was trying to get them to go into the promised land. We'll see this in just a minute, the place of blessing, a land which flowed with milk and honey. God had what was best in mind for them. And they're deceived into thinking if they get form a captain and go back to Egypt, somehow they're going to be better off. And you know what we face in society today as God's people? We face a pressure, an enormous pressure, that if we are too separate from the world, we're going to be missing out. That the world has something to offer us, that the world has something that we need, something that's going to help us. It's a lie. And the masses of God's people wanted to go back to Egypt, and we find pressure amongst God's people in 2020 to cave in to the world. To cave in and think that this world has something to offer us, and it has nothing to offer us. What did Joshua and Caleb do? They tried to get them to focus on the positives of what God wanted for them. God, if He delight in us, He'll give us this land. God, if we'll allow Him, will satisfy us. He'll meet the need. Do we believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us? Do you know what we need in 2020? We need some Calebs. We need some Joshuas. We need some Calebs that are going to say, you know what? The masses are caving in and they're in unbelief, but I still believe that God wants to do something great in 2020. I still believe that God's power is able to work. He knew the answer was God's power. Number 3. He knew the goal was God's blessing. Look at verse number 8. If the Lord delight in us, He'll bring us into this land and give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned the people as truly as I live. The earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Where am I going? Right here, verse number 24. Sorry. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now we know that God blessed Caleb in a great way. Poor Caleb had to wander in the wilderness with God's people until the people were killed off and they could eventually go into the promised land, and he was rewarded in a great way. But I think it's interesting that God says this concerning his people. Because, verse 22, all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me thou these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, they're not going to see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. God wants to bless His people. Now think about this with me for just a minute, and then I'm going to show you a video that I trust God will use in your life. All throughout the Word of God, we see that God wants to bless His people. God's desire for His people was to take them from Egypt and take them into the promised land. There was not one, not two, there were 10 times that God showed Himself strong on behalf of His people. Can we say it this way? There were 10 times that God tried to get His people to see that He is the one that would bless them. That He is the one that could meet the needs. He is the one that could bring them to this land that flows with milk and honey. 10 times, but eventually God said this, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. You want to go die in the wilderness? Go ahead. And God gave them what they want. You know, I'm convinced today that God wants to bless His people. But at some point, if we're bent on doing what we want to do, at some point, if we're bent to say, yeah, I know this is what God says, but I'm going to do this. At some point, if we're bent, I believe eventually God sometimes will say, okay, go ahead and do what you're going to do. And we do what? We suffer the consequences of the decisions that we make. God's people wandered in the wilderness. You know any Christian people that are kind of wandering? Kind of going from this church and in church and out of church and here and there. And they're just kind of wandering. That's not God's desire. God says this, prove me now. And see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. God wants to bless us and use us. And the masses end up in the wilderness. They wander and they don't see the promised land. But not Caleb. By the way, the promised land is not a picture of heaven. Okay? The promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And I think that's important because God intends for us to have an abundant life. He wants us not just to have life, but to have it abundantly, have it more abundantly. And you know, the abundant blessing of life comes when I believe God, when I obey God, when I do what God wants me to do. But the masses were pressured to conform. And they did. I'll tell you this, as we think about the challenges that we face, I tried to quote this song this morning, and so I looked it up, and now I can read it for you, okay? When you count the ones who love the Lord, count me. When you count up those who trust His Word, count me. Count me with the children of the heavenly King. Count me with the servants who would service bring. Count me with the ransomed who His praises sing. Count me, count me. Victory Baptist Church, we need a whole bunch of Calebs. Churches all across the country need a whole bunch of Calebs. They will say, you know what? Even though there's a majority of folks in this world, and even though there's many Christians that are just caving in, I'm going to stand for truth. And for what's right. I'm going to ask Pastor Drew to put this video. Are we about ready for this thing? I want you to listen to this video. I want to say this. I did not do any research on the man telling the story. I don't know where the man stands theologically. I'm not condoning that. I am just wanting you to hear this story of a man that went to China. And what he does is he talks a little bit about the people in China and the people in America. And I found it helpful.